So you've got a lot of me this evening, leading worship and preaching, but you can be glad that I'm going to be away next week, so kind of makes up for it. Yeah, I think most people know that I'm going to be on leave for the next 3 weeks, and I'll very much miss being here and look forward to coming back well-rested at the end of that time. We'll do our best to rest well with the new arrival. Let's just pray and then we'll get into God's word this evening. Father, again, we would ask that you would speak to our hearts as we reflect on these words that we've just heard from Galatians 5. We would treasure them. There's certainly some challenges in these words and some life-giving encouragement. And God, I pray that you would stir in our hearts, and that you would use this moment to transform us as we reflect on your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, as we continue our journey through Paul's letter to the Galatians, we come to focus on chapter 5, verses 19 to 23. A major theme of the letter thus far, as we well know by now, is freedom in Christ, as captured in verses like Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, that says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And that verse is reflected in the song we just sung. And even reading it, I feel that I should preach a sermon on it, but I think I've already done that. What a wonderful verse. What a wonderful truth that in Christ we have this freedom. But Paul recognized that this concept of freedom in Christ can easily be abused, as I think we see some churches of our own day abusing this concept of freedom in Christ. They take it to mean that we have some kind of license to sin and do whatever we want, and that's certainly not what Paul meant when he said, "In Christ, we have freedom." And so to ensure that the Galatians did not misunderstand or deliberately justify a gross misinterpretation of his message, Paul goes on to spend a fair amount of time emphasizing the importance of walking by the Spirit as opposed to gratifying the desires of the flesh, as per Galatians 5, verse 15. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." The Galatians had to see, and we have to see, that freedom in Christ does not equate to a license to sin. And so in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 23, we come to a list of sinful vices and spiritual virtues. The list of vices concludes with a solemn warning that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the list of spiritual virtues concludes with a statement, "Against such things there is no law." Before we take a brief look at these lists, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 to 23. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 to 23. Now, in the context of warning his disciples about false prophets, Jesus says the following: "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits." And in the context of taming the tongue, James chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, uses a similar analogy. "From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. A tree is known by its fruit. So what kind of trees are we? What kind of tree are we as New Life Church? And as individuals within the church, what kind of trees are we? Are we people who live by the Spirit or live to satisfy the desires of the flesh? In the former, we won't get it right all of the time. But our heart's desire is to see the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives. In the latter, we might get it right some of the time, but our heart's desire is to satisfy the cravings of the flesh. What kind of tree are we? If we are truly spiritual, then habitual sin is out of place. In the words of James, it ought not to be. Yet if our heart's desire is to see the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives, if that which ought not to be happens to take place, we will quickly repent. On the other hand, the passage about false teachers from Matthew chapter 7 continues with a harsh reminder that the Lord knows the depths of our hearts. If we are bad trees, the perception of good truth will not please him. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The fruit of these that Jesus sent away was lawlessness. Now, with the imagery of good trees and bad trees that produce good fruit and bad fruit respectively, let's have a look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 23. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. My friends, that's quite a list. And it isn't even conclusive because it concludes with the phrase, things like these. Most of us have done things that are wrong in our lives. And some of us have done things that are terribly wrong. All of us have sinned. And as we look at this list, there's some things that might stand out to us. Surely there's many things in this list that we've never partaken in, but there might be at least one or two that we, if we're honest, we've done something like that in our lives before. And some of us might have moments of weakness in the future, and we might be tempted to do these things again. If we do, does that mean that we won't inherit the kingdom of God? Well, I think that depends on what kind of tree we really are, and if we truly are in Christ. Although we might at times do things that we ought not to do, as per James chapter 3, verse 10, if we are in Christ, we are called oaks of righteousness and are firmly rooted in our Savior's love. Listen to these words that describe the heart of Christ's mission on earth. This is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Friends, if we belong to Christ, we can rest assured that we won't suddenly be uprooted and swept down the river away from his grace, even if we do that which we ought not to do at times. If this were not so, Paul would not have written the following just a few verses later in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. We'll come to this verse in a few weeks' time, but it is clear that Paul's standard for the Galatians is not sinless perfection. Nonetheless, as oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, how might we endeavor to live in such a way that he may be glorified? Well, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, 24 to 25, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. We endeavor to live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit because that is the kind of tree that we truly are. Our flesh, after all, is a dead tree that has been crucified with Christ. It follows that we ought to bear spiritual fruit, as we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I want us to think about that final statement. Against such things there is no law. In Paul's time, virtuous people were often thought of as above the law. Not in an arrogant way, as we might say, oh, you think you're above the law to a corrupt government official or something like that. Not in that kind of way. But because it was thought that their own wisdom would sufficiently guide them towards sound decisions. And so, essentially, they had no need for legal boundaries. It's interesting to think what the world might be like if everyone walked in authentic love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can you imagine a world where everyone walked in those ways? I think Paul is right. We wouldn't need any other laws. Yet even as good trees, we must realize that fruit grows gradually. Although if we belong to Christ, good fruit is inevitable in our lives. Often we only recognize growth by way of comparison. So we might not think that anything is happening in our hearts. We might not see the sanctifying work of God. But as we compare ourselves to how we used to be, I think that most of us would recognize that God has taken us from A to B and that there is indeed growth in our lives. One day it might suddenly dawn on us that we are much more patient than we previously were, or much more loving and kind. And thanks be to God that he is ever at work in our lives through every season and every circumstance. In closing, as we enjoy our freedom in Christ, we need to be sure that we are bearing the right kind of fruit by living according to the Spirit. Anything else ought not to be. As Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7 says, therefore, As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Amen.